Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
We're building something here. We had Juan and Lisa leading us this morning as well. Big thank you to you guys coming up from D.C., from our Every Nation family just coming together here. But churches, we lift up the name of Jesus. In the hard times, in the difficult times, through the trials that each of us are facing, through the sicknesses, through the worries, through the lacks, we're building something here. We're building an altar. Our lives are becoming an altar to the Lord. And as we talk about Pentecost today, as we have been for the last 2 weeks, I'm praying that God is going to light a fire on the altar of our lives, that our lives would become mobile temples to the praise and worship of our Lord and King, that everywhere we go, we're going to be walking in the presence of God, giving glory to the one who's due all of our life, all of our worship, all of the glory to him forevermore. We're building something here in this house. We're doing it together. Thank you because this is not just about a great worship team. This is about a worship culture that's in each and every one of us. So thank you for building that here with us. We've been in a series now for quite a while. Actually, we started this series in just after Easter, and it's called Casket Empty. And what it is it's a walk. It's a slow walk through the entire Bible. We're taking a year to walk through the entire Bible. And each of those letters stand for something. It's creation, Abraham, kings, exile, temple. Creation, Abraham, Sinai, kings, exile, temple is casket. That stands for the Old Testament. And then we're moving to the New Testament where we have expectation, Messiah, Pentecost, teaching, and yet to come. Today we're in Pentecost. Pentecost is this moment where the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. And it's this pivotal moment where we stop looking, the sort of question changes from what is God going to do, how is God going to act, into what are people going to do now that God has acted. What is the church going to do? How is the people going to respond? How are we going to engage our faith into what God is doing and start to get in the game personally? There's a lot of shifts and changes that happen at Pentecost. And we're going to talk about some of those today. My wife, Ailsa, and I, we've been parenting for about 5 years. And sometimes you can see our kids in the background of the videos. If you ever get bored watching the announcement videos, just look out for little Anders and Eden. They're riding their scooters around in the background of these announcement videos. And sometimes being Have. All right, guys, are we okay? I know we watched a movie about a nail in somebody's head. That's not going to happen at our relationship seminar, okay? That's not going to happen. Jesus took the nail, so we don't have to. All right, we're free here. It's a good day. It's a good day to worship the Lord. Pastor Shino just gave us an incredible exhortation where we worship the Lord. We want to keep in that zone, in that spirit. Keep up, even if we saw a nail in somebody's head, because that did happen. That was about relationships, and we're going to work on our relationships together. We're moving into Pentecost, changing from what God has done into what are people going to do with God. And so my kids, this is where this is going. My kids, sometimes they're being Have, sometimes they're being good. But what Ailsa and I are constantly trying to do is to give them a little bit more encouragement, to give them a little bit more empowerment. And so this past week or 2 weeks, it's been about getting your own water. So they'll walk into the room with us and they'll say, "I'm thirsty." And we say, "That's interesting. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do? Like, we don't know what's about to happen, because now you get your water. We've given you access to the sink. We've given you access to the cups. We put them on the lower level so you can get them. So go get about it. Go do it." And we've privately and humorously called this parenting by systematic neglect. We kind of take away little bits of our support system so that one day we'll take away the big support system of our house and our finances. We'll get all that back. And we'll say, "Go on, kids, go live your big, happy adult life," and they'll go do it. Is that what happens, Dad? Do we eventually? Sometimes we grow up. So that's what we're believing for our children. I believe that's what God is believing for each of us, is that we're gonna grow up and live big, self-actualized Christian lives, that we don't ever graduate from God, but he's going to lead us into greater and greater amounts of freedom. It's going to be less about, "Oh, God, help me," and, "Oh, God, how do I set somebody else free?" He's He's going to flip the script in our lives and give us power to start to affect change in our communities, change in our church, change in our schools, change in our workplace, change in our families, and he's going to give us power and authority. So it's not going to be like, God, I need your help, but God, I want to see you break through in these other areas of my life. So there's a woman in our PM service who has got this vision. She's got a bit of this vision kind of starting to bubble up in her. And she's a primary educator, early childhood educator. And for those of you who know her, her name is Althea. And she started to get this vision for her life. She recently prayed a prayer, or within the past year or so, prayed a prayer to God and said, God, my school says that you're not allowed in my school, but you're coming with me anyways. And she started to believe to see God move in her classroom. It started by praying for a child that came, was transferred in. He was transferred around and around and around her school and came into her classroom, and she started praying for him. He had learning difficulties, and there was marked improvement week on week on week, to the point where the parents started to wonder, what's going on? And they came to talk to her and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Our kid's coming home happy. He's never done that before. And she said, she's like, honestly, I'm doing everything by the book. I'm educating just the way I should be, but I'm also praying for him. And they start freaking out. They're so happy to see any improvement in their son. And then just about a month ago, there was a teacher that came into her classroom with chronic knee pain. And Althea prayed for her. And there was an on-the-spot miracle. And this word got out and caught up to the lead of the school, the head principal. And Althea was called into the office. And she said, what have you been doing? She said, I've been praying for people in my classroom. And the principal said, well, then you've got to pray for everybody. And we're going to call a prayer meeting, and I'm going to invite the whole school and the community, and we're going to hold a prayer meeting so you can pray for everybody. And church, it's on April 3rd. You can be praying for this event. It's going to be in Jersey City, and we're going to pray for all of the teachers of that school and believe that God's going to do miracles in their life, because there was one woman who had the audacity to believe that God could come with her into her school. God can come with you into every area of your life, and he's going to set us free. He's going to bring greater and greater amounts of freedom into our lives, but also into our families' lives, into our communities' lives as well. And so we want to see that happen. We want to see that happen. This morning, I want to talk to us about being clothed in power. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus says this. He says, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Clothed with power from on high. Every morning we get up, get dressed, we put on clothes. This morning I'm wearing a sport coat and a hoodie. I call it a nod in two directions. It's to hit all of the categories. I'm just trying to speak to everybody here this morning. But we each morning we consider what we put on. We are clothed in something. And we are dressed appropriate for our day, but I want to add one more piece of clothing into all of our wardrobes this morning. He's called the Holy Spirit, and he's far more than clothing. He's our power. He's our sustainer. He's our provider. He's going to speak to us. He's going to lead us and guide us, and we can wear this power everywhere that we go. I want us to be clothed in power. What this reminds me of is this moment in Genesis chapter 3 where God rolls in on an awful situation. Adam and Eve have just sinned, and they've realized that what they've done, and they realize that they're naked for the first time. And God rolls in and says, who told you that you're naked? And this is a question and a refrain that's been echoing around in the chambers of my soul. Who told you that you're naked? Who told you that you're insecure? Who told you that you're not enough? Who told you that you can't bring Jesus with you into your classroom? Who told you this? Because I've come to clothe you in power. And it's time to punch the devil in the face, as it were, and to not listen to those insecurities anymore. To not listen to the doubt, to the self-talk, to the refrains of you're not enough, it's never going to happen. And to say, no, I'm clothed in power. God is putting a new weapon in our arsenals this morning by God's grace. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that should invade and envelop every area of our life. Ready to be clothed in power this morning? like our sister Althea. Take God with us into every area of our life. Never stop believing, never stop hoping and trusting. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 1 and 2, where God pours out his Holy Spirit. I've got a couple of observations from this text, and we're going to believe that God's going to just pour out his Spirit here with us this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 says this. In my first book, O Theophilus, and I feel like we just need to pause right there. What is the author talking about? Luke wrote two books, Luke and Acts. Luke is all about Jesus. Acts is all about what the church does. And so if you ever read Acts in a Bible reference, you can know this is talking about the early church. It's early church history. In my first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, and he has given the commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, and he presented himself alive to them. After suffering by many proofs, he appeared to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And he stayed with them, and he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." My first observation is that Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He gave commandments to the apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's encouraging. Anybody want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. I want my life to be like Jesus. I want everywhere I go to people to feel loved, for there to be freedom and power. I want everywhere that I go to for miracles and healings to be following after me. I want doors to open in front of me, and I want healings to follow after me. Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit. He ministered under the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit at his baptism, where the Holy Spirit appeared, came down, rested on him like a dove, and John, it says, he remained there. He defeated Satan in the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He healed by the Holy Spirit, and eventually he was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. A call to be Spirit-filled is a call to be like Jesus. It's not a call to be weird. It's not a call to be spooky spiritual. It's a call to be like Jesus. And so this morning we're putting the call out, let's be Spirit-filled. Let's be a Spirit-filled church. Let's trust in the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere that we go. Second observation is that Jesus' mission did not stop with his resurrection. Jesus' mission was to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus had died. He'd forgiven sin. He had atoned for sin. He'd raised from the dead. He was about to ascend to sit in power enthroned with God the Father on high. But his mission was not done. He said, no, you need to wait. For many of us in our church experience, in our church theology, that was enough. Jesus has forgiven us, and that's good enough. And that is fantastic. And I don't want to downplay the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior at all. But his mission was not done yet. He said, there's still more to be done. You've got to wait. And you've got to be filled with the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We should never skip over this. We should never skip over what God wants to do in us and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to move in your workplace. He wants to move in your homes. It's not enough to just be forgiven. If we want to see God move, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, clothed in power by the Holy Spirit. My friend Jason, brother, I'm going to talk about you for a moment. About a year ago, he was feeling God's call to get back close to him, but he knew that his work was not going to let him. And so for that reason and a few others, Jason left his job. And he's been seeking employment for about a year. And he found a great company. He applied. He got interview upon interview. And it was like in the final round of interviews, they asked him this question. So what books have you been reading lately? And how are you applying them into your life? And how would you apply them into this work context? Mm-hmm. My brother was bold. He put it out there. He said, well, I've been reading my Bible. And it's been teaching me to be more humble. And it's been teaching me how to forgive people and how to be more empathetic. And I would love to bring that into any work culture that I would work with. Ladies and gentlemen, he got the job. He just finished his first week. Who told you that you can't bring Jesus into your workplace? Who told you that you're going to be worse off if you bring the King of Glory into your workplace? When Jason told me that, though, still, I was like, man, brother, you're bold. There's some boldness there. It's still bold. And he said this, Pastor, if I don't bring Jesus into or God with me into my workplace, then I'm using the same tools that everybody else is. If I don't bring God with me into my workplace, then I'm using the same tools that everybody else is. We want to see change. Our culture is hungry for change. Our culture is hungry for renewal, for refreshment, for healing, for freedom, for anxiety to break off. But if we keep doing the same old stuff, then the same old stuff will keep happening. It's time for us to do something new. It's time for us to step out in boldness. It's time for us to trust the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and it's not just on Sunday, it's also on Monday. We need the Holy Spirit with us everywhere that we go. So the story continues. They wait for the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, the story goes on. It says this, and when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So the disciples are asking Jesus some final questions. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said this, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father has fixed in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the workplace, in your family, in your school districts, and to the ends of the earth. And when they had heard this, he said these things. And when he had said these things, they were looking on, and he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in robes, and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. The next observation that I have is that the Holy Spirit changes our perception. He changes our perception. The disciples bring this question to Jesus. They said, Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So Israel was under Roman occupation. They had an outside force that was subjecting them, taking their finances, taking their money, taking their taxes, telling them how they can and cannot worship, controlling their whole society. And they ask a valid question. Jesus, you just defeated Satan, hell, and the grave. You just got up from the dead. Are you going to go fly around Jerusalem and kill all the Romans? I guess this is like something that's on their heart. And they bring to Jesus what's kind of like a political question. Jesus is, are you finally going to install our guy into the office? Are you finally going to do the thing that we've been hoping and praying for you to do in the government? And Jesus flips the script. He says, it's not for you to know, but you will receive power. It's not for you to know, but you will receive power. It's not for you to know, but there's something else bigger and better coming. Okay? I think we're starting to get it. It's not about earthly knowledge, but it is about a divine power. It's not about your nationalism, but it is about a global vision. It's not about your external safety, but it is about an internal victory. And so Jesus starts to flip their perspective from inside, God, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to make my nation better? To God, what are you going to do in the world? He flips them from the inside out. There's also another change that happens here. The Holy Spirit Jesus is taken up into heaven. And the disciples are there watching. And, I mean, can you imagine that moment where Jesus just lifts up? I don't know, and the clouds take him. And they're standing there as you would, just looking. Hey, did you see that? Yeah. And then, lo and behold, two angels come up behind them, say, why are you looking? It's time to start going and doing. And Christians, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, God changes the game on us. It's not about looking at the right guy, the right woman, hearing the right thing. It's about what are we doing? And where are we going? Christianity is not about watching the right thing. It's about following the right person. Christianity is not about going to the right church. It's about following and obeying the right person. And so we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to be doers of his word, not just hearers. We're not just going to be watchers of what he's doing, but we're going to be participants. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he changes our perspective from one of a spectator into somebody that's in the game. And the Holy Spirit wants to fall on each one of us. This is not about being a part of a Holy Spirit-filled church. This is about living a Holy Spirit-filled life. Each of us, individually, being changed from spectators into participants. So God wants to change our perspective. The Holy Spirit changes our perspective. But he doesn't just change our perspective, he also changes our very person as well. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, the Holy Spirit falls. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were seated. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here the Holy Spirit is poured out. And there's two sort of manifestations of it. There's a wind and there's a fire. The wind, in Hebrew, the word is ruach. Ruach. And the Hebrew word for wind can mean wind, breath, or spirit. The ruach was hovering over the face of the deep when God was creating the earth. God breathed his ruach into Adam and Eve, and they came blinking into life, staring into the face of God Almighty, filled with his breath, filled with his spirit. And here, God is breathing the wind, the breath, the spirit, the ruach, is coming into the church, and he's creating a brand new humanity. Here in Acts chapter 2, God's breath is coming again, God's spirit is coming again, and it's filling all of them. The second thing that's happening is this fire. What's this fire about? Divided tongues of fire falling on each and every person. There's a couple of times when God's fire falls in the Old Testament. It reminds us of Sinai, where God met with all of the people of Israel on the mountaintop. Well, he met really with one man. Moses went up, and everybody else was spectators. Right? Who's spectating now? Nobody. They're all getting filled with that Holy Spirit. It also reminds me of Leviticus chapter 9. Moses and Aaron are dedicating the tabernacle to the Lord, and God's fire falls on the altar. One altar, two witnesses, maybe some Levites around, I don't know. A number of holy people were seeing it, but now this number is multiplied. It's not just one altar, but it's multiple altars. 120 people estimated to be there, filled with the fire of God. And so God is changing paradigms from a static, single temple into a mobile, multiple temples. God is changing from operating with one holy man or one holy woman, one Deborah, one Joshua, one Moses, one person. Now it's a multiplicity of people. And then they walk out of that space, preach the gospel with boldness, and there's men and women there gathered for the Feast of Pentecost from every nation, and every nation joins this church, and in that moment, they start a church of 3,000 people. 3,000 people come to know the Lord that day. And God starts to undo what was done in Babylon, where one people were confused, had confused languages, and they spread out throughout the whole earth. Now all of the nations gather together, and there's one heavenly language, and they're all understanding together, and they come to know Jesus. And God is building a brand new humanity. So God changes them in this moment. God wants to fill us with the fire of God as we offer our lives up to him. In worship, in these moments where we worship him, we're learning how to worship corporately so we can go home and worship privately, and one day we'll worship all together with every language, every tribe, every tongue that's ever existed together. As we offer up our lives, God's fire is falling on the altar of our lives. We're becoming temples, places where God's presence can meet with people. And church, I want us to get a vision. It's not just for you. It's for your families. It's for your schools. It's for your workplaces. What would it look like for God to move in those places? What would it look like for God to move in your marriage? What would it look like for God to move in your school district, in your place of work, in your school, in your high school? God wants to use you. God wants to use you right where you are. And then that voice will come and say, no, he doesn't. He won't use you because you did X, Y, and Z. And that's when you say, no, I'm not naked. I'm clothed in power. And you punch that insecurity in the face. And you rise up in the authority of Jesus Christ because you are more than a conqueror. You're clothed in the power of God. You've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. It's time to stop spectating and start expecting. We're going to expect God to move. We're not waiting on another church. We're not waiting for a man in a shiny suit. We have the authority of God living on the inside of us, the power of God, the Spirit of God. Stop looking elsewhere. Start expecting God to move on the inside of you. I've got three calls just as I wrap up our this message. The first is to live in Christian community. When those men and women gathered together in that upper room, they were living together. They had one heart. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and there's also unity. God loves unity. When brothers dwell together in unity, it's such a blessing to the Lord. And any scripture that you can find about unity, there's generally a reference to God's Spirit right there with us. I don't have time to go through the four or five that I have queued up in my head, but just go start searching on unity. The Spirit of God loves being poured out on unity. Acts chapter 2 is an example of that, where they are all gathered together in one accord. The Spirit moved there. Let's start committing to Christian community. If you're not in a connect group, we would love to help you get plugged in. If you've not been baptized, we've got a baptism coming up soon. This is all about coming into the family of God. We run our connections course, which is all about getting connected and living in Christian community every other month. We're wrapping up this month. We're going to introduce our members very soon that come out of this class, and we'll run it again in April. Sign up. Look forward to that. The second thing is there's a call to fervent prayer. They weren't sitting around in that room. They were praying and expecting. My friend Althea was not sitting around hoping that God would move. She was dedicating her quiet times to the Lord as well. She was dedicating her time at home, her time in her classroom alone. Any time that she got, she's praying and pouring out her heart to the Lord. Let's commit as a church to fervent prayer. Let's start to expect God to move. Let's pray those bold prayers. We're going to go after God together, and we get to do that every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night. And this Tuesday night, we would love to pray for you to receive boldness, a baptism of boldness into what God wants to do through you. The third thing I'd like to call us to, and I'm going to invite the band up as I do this, is to live fearlessly. Let's live fearlessly. When the Holy Spirit falls, he changes our very person. He changes who we are and what we can expect. When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he had plenty of reasons to doubt that God was going to meet him when he stood up to preach. But he goes anyways. He lives boldly. My friend Jason could have doubted in that moment. He could have said, well, I've been reading all of these best business books, and I've been reading whatever. Good to Great, I don't know, whatever. The Habits book, the Atomic Habits book, that was a good one. But he lived boldly. He lived fearlessly. He put it out there. He said, he nailed it to the wall. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And he's helping me. It's time to live fearlessly. I believe that the church has adopted in our culture, maybe not ours, but a passivity in our faith, where we expect God to move, but us to spectate. But at Pentecost, God wants to turn that around. He wants us to start expecting big, believing big. And I'm a big sovereignty God. I believe that God is in control all the time. But I also believe that we are called to step out. Peter had a choice to step out of the boat. Peter had a choice to step into that moment of preaching, and he saw 3,000 people come to know Jesus. We have a choice. God can use us. God can use somebody else. But personally, I'm tired of waiting on God to move through somebody else. I want God to move right here through me and right here through you. We need to be clothed in power. Clothed in power. I'm going to pray for us, and when I do, the ushers are going to pass out communion. We're going to take communion together here in a moment. Let's stand up. I just want to pray. I believe that Jesus is calling us to take bold moves. We don't get to follow the God that leaves heaven and not take some bold moves ourselves. As we take communion, we're remembering that Jesus came to earth, died in our place for our sins, and brings to us resurrection life. He also brings to us the promise of the Holy Spirit. We want to pray for each of you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll have prayer counselors up at the front at the end of our service. But in this moment, this is a moment where we come to Jesus. And I'd encourage us, let's, as a church, repent of passivity. Repent of not believing that he's going to come through. Repent of maybe keeping our mouth quiet when the opportunities came to share of our faith. Jesus, we want to follow you. Jesus, we want to run after you. God, I believe that you're going to move through this church. God, that you're going to minister through us, each of us, God, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, God, for where we've not stepped out. Forgive us, Lord, where we've thought our comfort was better than your call. Forgive us, Lord, where we've thought that passivity was better than activity. Forgive us, Lord, where we've hidden away our faith. God,
you've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.